welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. Joining me, as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm at AH Malcolm on the Twitters. Is now it's officially X because they changed the domain and now it's X.com, but so is Twitter to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, why would it be anything else? It's just that X, I know it's a favorite name of his, and he wanted to call, what was that, PayPal, he wanted to call that X, and he lost that fight. But I don't, forget it. It will never be X. But I
never be X either.
It is a very exciting week, Ed, because although we have to do without your Hawaiian shirt, we do get your new earphones.
Yeah, these are my wireless headphones, and I got a little tired of having the wires hanging down on camera. So I'm testing these out, and
I'm impressed.
Not sure he's being kind, but.
That's okay. Sure. Yeah. Well, there's nothing to talk about, so that's it for the show.
That's it, and it's great. Join us next week for the same exciting adventure. There's plenty to talk about, including Andrew's remembrance about message in a bottle, the Trump debates. I want to talk to you a little bit first, though, about what's happened today in the courtroom in Manhattan, where Michael Cohen's cross-examination finally ended, but not before he admitted to embezzling $30,000 or more from Trump by falsifying business records while he's testifying about his knowledge of Trump falsifying business records. I gotta say, I don't understand the entire theory of this case. But what I do understand is that Michael Cohen...
Of the prosecution case.
Of the prosecution case, yeah. I mean, this is a bad moment. And there was a bad moment last week, too, because they caught Cohen in a lie. You know what it reminded me of? Have you been watching the HBO series The Jinx 2? Before I ask, he says, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Get off my damn lawn, Morrissey. the Jinx 2. This is a brand new documentary. And it's about the murder cases involving Robert Durst, right? Robert Durst ended up being convicted of these things several months ago. These were the guys that got him on a hot mic in the bathroom, admitting that he killed them all, right? He killed his ex-wife. He killed his former best friend. He killed this guy he was rooming with at one point. So he ended up getting arrested, getting tried in Los Angeles. And they were showing his cross-examination in the latest episode, which was just Sunday night, last night. And the prosecutor got Durst to admit that he would lie on the stand to get out of trouble, which is not exactly a credibility builder for a jury. And so just destroyed him. And it took several days. He did this over the course of several days. And finally the judge said, I'm going to put you on a time limit. You need to wrap this thing up. And they got, he got convicted because he completely shredded his own credibility. And I swear, it almost sounded like Michael Cohen was doing the same thing. He was admitting that he would lie to protect himself. He was admitting that he'd committed perjury, and he admitted to embezzling $30,000 from Donald Trump, which is, a felony that is a lot more serious than
what he's charged with. Yeah.
Than what Trump is charged with. Right. So why isn't the Manhattan DA charging Cohen? They gave him immunity so that they could charge Trump for sending money to Stormy Daniels, which isn't a crime at all.
This is ridiculous. I wonder if the New York jury is going to see through all this.
You know, What's interesting about this is that there are two attorneys on the jury. I didn't know this until a couple days ago. Apparently, two of the people that are on the jury are attorneys. And attorneys are going to understand when a guy's committing perjury, what that means for the prosecutor's case. And I don't know if they're going to acquit Trump, but I'm pretty sure now that probably the only thing that's really going to happen here is a hung jury that ends up forcing Bragg to try to bring this case again and probably
with a different judge. Come on. That's ridiculous. Again?
Well, if it's a hung jury, he can. It's not double jeopardy. Hung jury doesn't invoke double jeopardy. He hasn't been hung jury isn't not an acquittal, so they can always retry. But after the way this case fell apart, this is I can't imagine that they would try it.
I had a friend who was on a really nice guy who was on a jury in the Bronx years ago. And he got picked. He didn't want to be, and he was a reporter, but he got picked. And the case involved a guy walking down the street carrying his boombox. And another guy came up and said, "Give it to me." And he said, "No." And so we beat him up. And so Leonard thought to himself, "Well, this is going to be easy." And so they went to the trial. And the jury gets in the room and the jurors are saying, "Well, we need to acquit this guy." And Leonard said, "Wait, what? Why?" I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. We have eyewitnesses. And they said, "Well, could have avoided the whole thing if he just gave him the boombox." And he said, "Wait, you mean gave into the room?" And so Leonard got so up in arms that he led the jury and they ended up convicting him. But he was like, "Well, you can't, no." That's why I've never been on a jury and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, I've never been on a jury either. You know, it's not that I wouldn't serve on a jury. I've gone to jury duty. I went to jury duty recently. I think it was last year or maybe a few months ago. And I just happened to get lucky. I mean, I didn't even get voir dired. I didn't get chosen for a panel. There was 300 people in the room. 180 people got chosen for various different panels because they gave us the numbers. They said, "Well, there's 300 here. 180 of you are going to have to stick around for something. The other 120 of you are going to have a really nice day." And I was one of the 120 that got out. And I would have been fine with getting picked for voir dire, but I've never actually even been voir dired. I think I did get voir dired once. And as soon as they found out that I worked in a law enforcement adjacent industry at the time, that was my career, they excused me off the panel. Yeah. It was fine by me. But I mean, I wouldn't mind serving on a jury once. I think, and I don't mind going to jury duty because I think it's a good system.
In California, once I think it's 70 or 75. Once you're over 75, you can opt out for medical reasons, or it's very easy. Just have to tell them the medicines you're taking, and they think it will cause you to convict everybody.
Yeah, I told people I was going to go to jury duty, and everybody's giving me these strategies for, getting yourself bounced out of a trial. It's like, why would I want to do that? I mean,
yeah, I know. The governor I worked for was a prosecutor across the entire state of Montana, and he had a 97% conviction rate. He said he would love to be on a jury. He just wanted to see the inner workings because he was always guessing, but he never, of course, he would never get on one.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, and this is the reason why having two attorneys on this trial is actually on this jury is actually kind of interesting. I don't know what the thought process was for either of the sides on this to allow those attorneys to be on the jury, but they're there. And so.
Well, anyway, I think they should just shoot everybody. Yeah, if he's charged, he should be sent to prison. Never mind the trial. Save money.
There you go. It's like the line from Silverado. We're going to give you a fair trial followed by a first class hanging.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's going on in the Trump trial. And the other thing that we could talk about, I suppose, just briefly, is this whole thing with the International Criminal Court, which is just outrageous. I don't even know if we need to get into that too much, but this is part of the, yeah. Let's go to your column about the debates, though. Because here's my theory about what's going on with the debates. And I know that this isn't really what your column talks about. But before we get to what you're talking about in your column, I don't think Joe Biden actually really wants to debate Donald Trump. And I think that this was just a way to bluff Trump with terms that they thought he would find unacceptable so that he would refuse. So then they were no longer on the hook. And I think the fallback position here is they're hoping that Trump's going to get convicted in Manhattan. And then they can say, well, we're not going to put a president on stage with a convicted felon for a debate.
Right.
I think both of those things, certainly the first thing fell through because Trump just decided to do it. He said, sure, it sounds good. Let's do four.
Well, he's ballsy enough to do that kind of stuff, and he usually pulls it off. And I think he needs to be very, very careful. A main point I made in the column was, he's talking. Okay, I'll back up. He was talking over the weekend about Biden being unable to put two sentences together. Now, first of all, everybody knows that. And everybody has seen the tapes. I put in there a 5-minute tape of Biden, of 5 minutes of Biden brain freezes. And when you see that, you go, oh my God, this is the guy with access to the nuclear launch codes. But Trump should not be talking about that. I mean, everybody knows that. Trump should be building him up. You don't hear the Dallas Cowboys saying, we're going to kill Denver on Sunday. They don't have a chance, which is what Trump is saying. You know, forget it.
Yeah.
Just talk about, look, this guy's been in politics since most of you were born. He's a real pro at this. He's done debates after debates after debates. And we've already met, so he knows the routine. And by the way, have you seen the State of the Union speech? Now, don't say anything about clearly he was jacked up on something, but that's he was. But you don't have to say that. The world knows this. So build him up. You don't want to build up expectations for you and build them down for him. So if Biden gets on the stage and doesn't drool or doesn't pull a Dave and collapse, everybody's going to say, oh, no, he's okay. Well, he's not okay. So raise the bar for him. This is a real mistake. I understand Trump is not disciplined, but he needs to be in this case, because if you watch, and I did, and then posted it, the video of the State of the Union, you say, well, that guy is yelling strangely, but he doesn't look demented. He looks strange, but that's not a disqualification. So,
You're right.
The people who voted for him are going to want to see reasons to vote for him again. And they have to make it impossible to vote for him again. You know, if he has one brain freeze up there, then that's the end of Joe Biden's dream of getting 4 more years in government housing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Part of the issue here too is that there is a rise of a new phenomenon here. And this is the reason why, you know, playing rope-a-dope here might be a little wise for Donald Trump. The new phenomenon is the Never Bidens. Did you see some of the polling that's come out? The Washington Post picked it up, which I was actually a little surprised at. Aaron Blake is somebody I've interacted with a number of times. He's a pretty decent sort of guy. He's clearly on the left when it comes to analysis, but he's, I would say he's honest about it. And even he looked at the numbers and said, there are more people who are significantly more people now say that they will never, ever, ever vote for Joe Biden again than people who are saying that they will never, ever, ever vote for Donald Trump, either again or at all.
Yeah.
And Aaron Blake's point was that this debate demand, you know, because, you know, did you see the video cut? The video that Joe Biden did.
What was it, 14 seconds and five cuts? I mean, or something like that?
It was more cuts than that. I think it was 20 seconds and 14 cuts. I mean,
jeez.
If you can't do, I mean, I do 1 minute commentaries, right? Where I write a 1 minute commentary for Salem. Maybe quite a few of the people here will have seen some of those over on the Salem News Channel. And I do a video and I do it on audio, usually audio, but sometimes with video too. And sometimes it takes me three or four times. There was one time it took me eight times to do the video one because I couldn't cut and paste. If I do the audio one, I just do it in one straight shot and I just cut out the gleeps, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's 60 seconds, roughly 60 seconds. And sometimes on those audio ones, I'll have three or four, or on the video ones, I'll have to do it six times or five times or four times to get a 1 minute stretch done. This is 20 seconds and they had to cut together 14 different, or at least they had to make 14 different jumps in 20 seconds. Yeah. This is not a guy who can debate extemporaneously. You can't even read off a teleprompter these days.
But they, you know, he spent 40% of his time in Delaware on vacation as president. So they're doing, somebody is doing something to him. And you'll notice when he goes to Delaware, he goes on Friday and he comes back, well, it says Monday, but it's really Monday afternoon. So it's really a 3-day weekend for him. And, you know, he's getting some kind of treatment for something. And I don't know what it would be. I know nothing about those drugs, but he was clearly on something when he was giving the State of the Union, because when he appeared before and after then, he couldn't put two sentences together. He couldn't. So there's something going on. But, you know, if you have to explain something in politics, you lost. So Trump can't count on it. Trump has to let it happen for the world to see. He can't say, did you see? He paused too many times. You can't do that. If everybody sees it and it's convincing, then he would be done. But to count on that, I mean, they juiced him up in the State of the Union. See, what was it? It was 67 minutes he spoke. So, the debates are 90 minutes, but it's not all him. So,
yeah, I mean, if they do get to the debates, assuming they get to the debates, and I don't think that they're ever going to take place, but assuming that they do actually debate, I think that, first of all, I think it's going to be I'm trying to think of a polite word for shit show.
That'll do.
Yeah, I think that works. I think I do it. I just got to go with that one. And, you know,
remember the movie about the pig, the herding pig, and the actor says, that'll do, pig.
Yeah. Yeah. Babe. Yeah. Babe. Yeah. 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 I mean, that's really the only thing I could, it's really the only word I could come up with, because they're both good. I mean, we saw it the last time, we saw it 4 years ago, and they're going to start yelling at each other. Right. And they're going to start calling each other names, unless Donald Trump has learned his lesson. Because I think what my advice to Donald Trump would be don't do that. Because right, this guy right, is going to fall. I mean, this is like your advice too. I mean, it's the reason why I'm bringing it up is because, and by the way, people should go read this over at Red State. It's behind the paywall. So be a VIP member. Dangerous debates. Trump needs to be quite careful. But I think that the chaos factor is going hard against Joe Biden. Americans are tired of the chaos of the Biden administration. They're longing for the days where chaos, you know, the Trump administration chaos was mean tweets, right?
Yeah, right.
So what you do is you remain disciplined in the debate. You know, take your shots during your 1 minute period of time, but don't get baited into yelling at each other. Yeah.
I wish I thought he could be that self-disciplined. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know if he can be either. But that's the strategy.
But that's the way you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And I mean, and this is the thing that really I found puzzling. I didn't write about it, but I did find it puzzling, which was Joe Biden's demand that the microphones would get turned off after the time expired, right? That's not what Joe Biden needs. Joe Biden needs Donald Trump to be nuts.
Yeah. Because yeah, that's a good point.
If Trump's microphone is off, his is on. And he's going to have to answer questions extemporaneously and try to remember what it is at 9 o'clock at night.
I wish I'd mentioned that. That's a powerful point. That is a good one, Ed. What are you doing in this business? This is great.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I've been at it 21 years. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing here. the other part of this, and I'm curious as to how you see this. Why June? Why June 27th? Which almost interfered with my vacation. I'm going to point this out.
The outrageousness of this.
Just outrageous that they would interfere with my vacation that way. Almost interfered with my vacation. Fortunately, I come back a few days before.
I think the reasoning, I'm surmising that the reasoning is before July 4th, everybody thinks that people go on vacation or are more likely to be on vacation after the holiday. And so the next one would be in September. I don't disagree with that. But I'm thinking that Trump agreed. He wanted early debates. I'm thinking he agreed because he wants Biden to be seen and to crumble his case before a national audience that he can't handle it. I just think that's risky because they'll jack him up with something. And, you know, I hope I live long enough to find out what the hell they're doing to Biden, because there's better living through chemistry going on with Joe Biden when he's away from the White House.
And especially when he's doing speeches at night, like the State of the Union address.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
it sounds a little conspiracy theory, you know, to do this, but there's actually a history of this. They used to give Kennedy shots. This is not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
He had an adrenal gland malfunction. He had it his entire adult life, right? And it would come and go. And there were stages in his presidency where it was acute, you know, along with the bad back that, you know, with the PT-109 thing, you know, where he got his back injured in that collision. But he had an adrenal gland malfunction and they were giving him Dr. Feelgood shots. Right. to get him past some of these acute episodes. So it's not as though this doesn't happen. I mean,
what would happen?
Maybe it happens with Trump too. I have no idea.
What would happen if they didn't? Is he get sleepy?
I'm trying to. Yeah. I mean, I think he would get lethargic. It's been a while since I read about this, but there were definite effects to it. And they were concerned about.
They wanted to hide it.
Energy and being at his form. I mean, this is 1961, 62, 63, too. So I mean, this is, you know, the science on this was not as well-rounded as maybe it was a little later on. And so they're giving him stuff that, you know, basically amped him up. And, I forget which book I read this in, but I mean, it was because he had a legitimate medical issue too. It wasn't that he was suffering from dementia. He was 48 years old when he was assassinated. Yeah. So it was 48, I believe it was 48. I mean, he was in his 40s when he was assassinated. He was not suffering from dementia. This was a legit physical ailment with doctors that were prescribing what was at the time the legit, a legit treatment for it. But it had the effect of amping him up and get, you know, making him more energetic and stuff like that. So I mean,
it wasn't Michael Jackson.
No. No, his taste ran a little older and a little bit more feminine.
I forget what was it isopril, or there was some drug that ended up killing Michael Jackson. Anyway, they use that drug when they do colonoscopies now. And I had colonoscopy in the old days, and that was an ordeal. But this one is like you're half asleep and all that stuff. So when they explained to me what they were going to do, I said, wait a minute, that's the Michael Jackson drug. And the anesthesiologist said, yeah, but we know what we're doing.
Yeah, it was Addison's disease that Kennedy had. I was just looking this up, and the New York Times covered this 32 years ago. I'm looking here the family didn't want the autopsy to cover the abdomen. You know, first off, everybody knew what the cause of death was. So, I mean, it wasn't exactly a mystery as to why he died. But they were given, he was given cortisone and other steroids, I guess, and replacement hormones. And this was, this it had been acute at different times. Well, he was a senator. He had a couple of acute episodes of this. And,
well, so it didn't help.
Didn't help. But at any rate, you know, it was in a period too where you didn't really report on, you know,
that's right,
private lives of presidents. You know, that came later, although not much later, and in part because of Kennedy's private life. You know,
and we still don't know what happened to Barack Obama during the 16 hours of Benghazi.
No, well, there you go. That you got that too. All right, before. On that note, I do want to talk at least briefly about your non-VIP post here. That's the time I sent a message in a bottle across the ocean and I got a reply. And you tried this, I guess, a number of times, right?
I mean, it's kind of cool. I did this. I've done this scores of times. I didn't keep track because... Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the reason my father brought this up was to ignite my little boy imagination that you would write a note with your name and address, put it in a bottle, and throw it in, well, it was the Atlantic, but any large body of water, and not know ever what happened to it. And you might get an answer, but probably not. And so for the rest of your life, or for some period of time, you would be imagining where it could be. He was trying to ignite my imagination, and it worked. I still do. I'm still convinced that some of the bottles I've thrown out are still bobbing around somewhere. But I hinted in the last month's Titanic memory column, that when we spread the ashes of the Titanic survivor over the Titanic sinking site so he could rejoin his father, I also threw out a Diet Pepsi bottle with two of my business cards in it. And that was in April. And 18 months later, I got an answer from a little girl who found the bottle in France. And so this is the story. And this is the story of well, I was a pen pal with a little girl for a while, and there was media coverage of it and so on. But this is the story of when my dad would tuck me in at night. We had thrown a bottle in for him to teach me this habit. And when he would tuck me in at night, just before he turned off the light, he'd say, "I wonder where our bottle is tonight." And then there would be darkness, and I would go to sleep imagining all these wonderful places or scary places or whatever where the bottle might be. And I still think maybe that bottle, I never did hear back from that one, but I did hear back from probably 15 or 20 of them. Not all as dramatic as going across the Atlantic on the Gulf Stream, but I did hear back from them, and it was great fun. But hearing back wasn't the point. So I wanted to write about imaginations that fathers can launch. And he did.
Well, it's a great column. It's a great column, and people should go over and read it, especially and
it's
for not, that.
It's free. It's out in front.
It's free. It's out from behind the paywall. And you'll definitely want to read about the time that the New York City Police Department wanted to be Andrew's pen pal because he was littering the beaches. And I'm kidding. That didn't actually happen. I'm just joking.
Well, I did throw one in at Martha's Vineyard, and it was from the beach. It was right in the surf. So I thought it was going to come right back. But it went, and I remember some months later, I heard from a sailboater off of Connecticut who found it, and he didn't open it. He read my address through the bottle and wrote me and then threw the bottle back. So it went on a second voyage that I haven't heard from yet. But then I'm not at the old addresses. But you know, like I said, the point wasn't to get an answer, but I did. And it was exciting. Yeah.
Did you ever have any negative feedback from that?
No.
Somebody said, "Why did you throw that bottle in bottle? What the hell were you thinking?"
Yeah. What are you, littering the ocean? We got this ship collecting plastic in the ocean. I just didn't think one bottle that was glass was going to matter much.
No. Of course not. The thing.
And besides, even if it had mattered, I would have done it because it was fun. I did it with my dad, and so it was tainted with love and some mystery.
That's exactly right. Lovely column. So thank go you. Over to redstate.com and look it up. That time I sent a message in a bottle across the ocean and got a reply from Andrew Malcolm, part of his Memories series, by the way, which you should just be around to read anyway. They're wonderful recollections, and Andrew is just sharing so much of himself over at redstate.com. It's great
16 stuff. Of them now. Yeah.
16. Yeah. 16 and more to come.
I think so. I just have to, before my mind goes.
You are not Joe Biden.
No, that's right. And he's going to West Point for the commencement address on Saturday. So hopefully he doesn't fall like the Air Force last year.
No, but I'm sure he'll regale us with his time that he was actually admitted to West Point, but declined to enter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we have reached the point of getting to the jokes of the week.
Well, and actually, I understand you have one or two. I have a couple. Yeah. There was one is today a man knocked on my door and asked for a small donation towards the local swimming pool. I agreed. I gave him a glass of water. I just like that one. It was so simple.
That's pretty good.
And it was another one, cable repairman working on our street. He asked what time it was. I told him between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. I like that one. I think I got one more here. A new study, this is an old one. A new study finds more and more parents regret the name they gave their baby. They actually have a name for those parents: celebrities. I like that one.
I like that one too.
Oh, and one other one. Seth Meyers, he said, obviously this is old. He said, "Vice President Mike Pence today." I don't know if I can get through this one. Mike Pence today met with the Honduran president, Juan Orlando. Coincidentally, Juan Orlando is also Joe Biden's alias on spring break in Cancun.
Juan Orlando. It's kind of like Carlos Danger. Kind of like Carlos Danger. What's his name? Anthony Weiner. Yeah. All right. I got a couple for you.
Okay.
All right. So Patty and his friends are talking at the bar, right? And the first friend says, I think my wife is having an affair with an electrician. The other day I came home and found wire cutters under the bed and they weren't mine. And the second friend says, you know, I think my wife is having an affair with a plumber the other day. I found a wrench under my bed and it wasn't mine. And Patty says, well, I think my wife is having an affair with a horse. And the first two friends go, a horse? He says, yeah. He says, no, I'm serious. The other day I came home and found a jockey under my bed. I'll do it. All right.
He was a little guy.
He was a little guy. Just a little guy. Last one.
Obviously, size doesn't matter. Yeah.
And I think this is kind of an old one too, but it's still fun. The guy was in a cave looking for a treasure, found an old lamp, rubbed it, and out pops a genie. And the genie says, thank you for freeing me from the lamp. I'm going to grant you 3 wishes, but just keep in mind that anything that I grant you, I'm going to grant your wife double. The guy says, He says, well, I wish I had a mansion. And genie says, so be it. And he got a mansion. His wife got 2 mansions. Man says, well, you know, I'd like $1 million. So be it. So he got $1 million. His wife gets $2 million. Man says, for my 3rd wish, scare me half to death.
I saw a video on Instagram recently of a woman sitting at the kitchen counter. Her family was all gathered around, and she had a birthday cake with 1 candle. And everybody said, oh, you got to make a wish, got to make a wish. So she went like this. She made a wish, and she blew the candle out. And as soon as the candle was out, her husband collapsed behind her.
You know, Andrew and I send each other jokes on Instagram now. I mean, we're like the oldest people on Instagram, right?
yeah, exactly right. Exactly. But we're the ones that keep it stable.
That's right. We're the ones that make sure that it stays clean.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, Ed, it's been wonderful this week. We'll do it next week, I think, I hope. And
we'll have to do it on Tuesday because
that's right.
Because that's right. Memorial Day next week. I mean, I'll be sitting around the house. So if you want to record, that's fine.
No, but, yeah. I will be. I'm a big race fan. Congratulations on your earphones once again. It's super, Ed. This is really impressive.
Just styling now. You know what I look like? I look like that guy from Star Wars that has, you know, the
the
thing over the ears, right? And he's just
now you got to get glasses that are little pinchy ones too.
There you go. That's exactly right. All right. Well, Andrew Malcolm, the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com. Go over to redstate.com, read everything that Andrew's writing, both behind the paywall and outside of it. That lovely column that he wrote, which is, I just want to get the title again. That time I sent a message in a bottle across the ocean and got a reply in his latest VIP column, Dangerous Debates. Trump needs to be quite careful. Be sure to read both of those. Andrew Malcolm, we'll talk again next week.
Okay, sir. Thank you, Ed. And thank you, everybody.